This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Another Saturday night that I ain't got nobody. I got some money cause I just got paid. Now how I wish I had someone to talk to. I'm in an awful way. Dig this. I got in town a month ago. I seen a lot of girls since then. If I could meet them, I could get them. But as yet I haven't met them. That's why I'm in the shape I'm in. Here another Saturday night, and I ain't got nobody. I got some money cause I just got paid. Now how I wish I had someone to talk to. I'm in an awful way.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Sam Cooke for you. Remember Sam Cooke? I thought he had a voice like a nightingale. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Friday morning. Wow, October 4th already. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Patrick Hedger of the Competitive Enterprise Institute on what he calls the victory over net neutrality. Now, an appeals court basically nullified the Obama administration's efforts to regulate internet commerce. So we're going to talk a little bit about net neutrality and why he feels this is so important. And, you know, the whole Ukraine phone controversy getting more complicated and curiouser, as Alice would say in Alice in Wonderland. Now, the Ukraine government going to take a second look at the utility company that Joe Biden's son was connected to for corruption purposes. Wow. We're going to ask the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceraci, for his thoughts on this. And new unemployment figures are out. The best in 50 years. Have you heard the mainstream media crow about that? Best unemployment in 50 years. We will talk about it here. And I debated on whether or not to do this one, to be honest with you, but I think people would be maybe morbidly interested. So we've got, in our ultimate top 10, the world's top 10 suicide bridges. Find out where they are, all right? So there you go. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. They give the best haircuts, you men, the best in Tampa Bay. Also, one of the best prices. Great ambiance. It's located in Dunedin on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza. That is just north of State Road 580 Main Street there in downtown Dunedin. Andrew's Master Barbershop. And please, please visit our website. You would be able to listen at your leisure to our programs there on podcast, thanks to Big Ed and his efforts. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, you know, I know it gets a little tiring. I bet people are so tired and listening to this back and forth with Donald Trump and the Democrats and impeachment and Ukraine and Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and now Adam Schiff. And after a while, your eyes blur over, your head bends, and you want to drop from the weight. Hopefully this nonsense will be over in a little bit. What is so crazy about all of it is they want to paint Donald Trump for asking about corruption by Joe Biden and his son. They want to paint him as the guy that's the offender. Could you imagine if it was President Obama checking into dirt on Donald Trump, how much they would be behind that if he was involved in putting his son or helping his son get on the board of a Ukraine utility, a corrupt Ukraine utility company? Just picture that, how the media would feast on that one. Do you think they would paint President Obama as the bad guy? I don't think so. I don't think so. Anyway, Ukraine's top prosecutor has said today they are going to conduct an audit of cases that have been previously investigated and closed, including the energy giant Burisma. That's the utility company where Hunter Biden was employed. Now, obviously, they're doing it at the behest of Donald Trump, but why not? If you're looking for corruption and you're the chief executive of our laws, you have every right to contact a company, a country rather, if people involved in our country are involved in corruption with them. What's wrong with that? And how would you be able to investigate the corruption if you didn't, that was in being done by Americans in the Ukraine, if you didn't contact Ukraine to let them know you're looking into it? It is so crazy. The country, the Ukraine's prosecutor general held a news conference. He says he was instructed to look at cases that have been closed, fragmented, or investigated to make sure they were fairly and thoroughly handled. Well, he could just come out and say it. Look, we're going to take a second look at Burisma. He said, we're now reviewing all the cases, blah, blah, blah. They've included 15 cases that were previously closed, including Burisma. In the meantime, a batch of new documents have come out on Hunter Biden. These include court filings as well as notes from interviews conducted by Donald Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani. And they're putting the spotlight on the Biden family's dealings in the Ukraine. In the meantime, back at the ranch, the Democrats are continuing their impeachment probe, zeroing in on Trump's push to convince the Ukraine to do the investigation. They've raised more questions about how much money Joe Biden's son Hunter made while serving on the board. That's Rudy Giuliani's group. He's made over $1 million there. He's also made some money in China. Now, though, also, I guess Trump has said what? He says China should take a look at what Biden and his son have been doing. And do you know what the Tampa Bay Times and all of these other, I guess you'd call them mainstream media? They say in the headline, Trump calls on China to investigate Biden. He openly seeks foreign interference despite the inquiry into his Ukraine call. Painting Trump as the bad guy. You ever notice that? That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Okay, we're going to talk something entirely different for a change. We're going to talk about net neutrality. A lot of people do not know what it's all about, net neutrality. So stay tuned for that. I think you're going to find it very interesting.
Her slow, but she was 16. Too young to fall 16. In love, and I was too young to know. We'd laugh and 16. We'd sing and do the 16. Little things that made my heart glow.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday morning. Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Thank you for being with us. Delighted to have Patrick Hedger joining us. He is a research fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're going to talk a little bit about this decision by the D.C. Court of Appeals, Circuit Court, upholding the FCC's Restoring Internet Freedom Order. Basically, it's turning around, reversing a ruling by the Obama administration on net neutrality on the Internet. Patrick, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, it's great to be on the air back in Tampa Bay. I grew up in Pinellas County.
Oh, you did? Well, we have beautiful weather today, although we're going to get into the 90s again. You know, this is a good time of the year, though, for places like Washington, D.C., and you know, some of the places in the Northeast. So it's a good time of the year. But I want to ask you, most people, Patrick, don't really know what net neutrality is. They hear the term, and it sounds good. It's like the Affordable Care Act. Boy, that sounded good. Yeah, let's get affordable health care. That's what we want. Of course, we didn't get it. And then there's net neutrality. That sounds like a nice thing, too. But what is that really? And why are you so pleased that basically it has been nullified?
Well, the best way I can put it for somebody that doesn't study this issue all day long or study telecommunications issues all day long is that the Internet is a lot like the grocery store or big box store of the future, right? You have a company that builds infrastructure, so they build the four walls of the store, and in the case of the Internet, that's actually laying the cable or building the antennas to deliver the Internet signal and the backbone of the Internet. And then there are the products that are within the store. Not all of those products are necessarily made by the company that built the store. They've built the infrastructure to deliver third-party products to you. So your internet company, say a Comcast or a Time Warner or something of the world, builds the internet backbone, or even your cell phone carrier. They build the network, and then other companies are able to deliver their products through that network. And what net neutrality is for is essentially that you couldn't, if you built your store, you couldn't decide what the prices were for the items that you were selling, where you would put them on the shelves, how you organized your store, things like that. And that's sort of what the government coming in and saying net neutrality is telling the companies that build these internet networks that they can't decide how to best manage their networks and how to prioritize certain internet traffic, which really, it sounds great in theory, but when you start thinking about how much of our economy and how much of our way of life is becoming dependent on the internet now, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to say that all internet traffic should be treated equally, especially when you have voice over internet 911 calls, you have telemedicine, other things that obviously ought to be prioritized over very basic emails, which don't need a lot of bandwidth.
Indeed. In fact, why anybody would want the federal government to come in and start regulating the internet is absolutely beyond me. Have they not learned the ongoing lessons of history about about the government and any government taking control of a free market product. What happens? Look what's happening to healthcare with the government running things. How much more expensive and less available it is. And it's just, I think it's the same thing with the internet. I love the old Wild West concept of the internet. I think we have rapidly advanced, have we not? I mean, if we went back just 3 years and you looked at, opened up your computer and looked at the internet, I mean, it would look old-fashioned. I mean, we keep moving forward. And yet people believe, now I guess the government's argument in the Obama administration was that these providers were becoming prejudiced and allowing access of certain companies to get on the, whatever you want to call it, the internet highway, and giving them a wider highway than other companies, and that was not fair. Is that kind of what it was all about?
Well, that was the theory. We don't really have any systemic examples of internet service providers. Again, you got to remember there's the ISPs, which is the people that are actually putting the cable in the ground and putting up the antennas, and then you have what we call the edge providers, which are like the Facebooks, the Googles, and the other services that provide their products and service over the internet, Amazon. So you have that kind of dichotomy in the internet economy. And yeah, you had a lot of folks like the Amazons, the Facebooks, and the really big bandwidth users, the Netflixes of the world, were pushing for net neutrality. But the way you should think of it is as if you owned a bridge and you established a toll booth on that bridge, you would necessarily charge the people who are putting more weight on the bridge more, right? Just as our highway system does, the 18-wheelers pay more than the motorcycles. Well, by pushing net neutrality, the people driving the 18-wheelers across the internet superhighway didn't want to pay as much as the wanted to pay the exact same rate as the motorcycle. And so it was essentially introducing government in under the guise of fairness. In reality, it was just a play for a type of subsidy or corporate welfare that would ultimately did for the time that it was in place reduce investment by the internet networks in producing. And actually building out networks serving more customers.
You know, and I think you probably gave a better understanding with your highway and bridge and everything that I did. But I mean, it still goes back to the government regulating a product and ending up making everything worse for everybody. Maybe there's good intentions. Maybe there's good intentions, but it doesn't mean it's going to get any better. In the meantime, this was a unanimous decision from the judges on this and on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, and both presidents had put judges on there, but it was unanimous. So that's quite a win, is it not, for the FCC on this thing?
Yeah, it's a huge win. It was actually two Obama-appointed justices, along with a Reagan-appointed justice. They didn't agree on all parts of the ruling, but as far as the core issues of the Trump FCC did, that moves forward. So we are rolling back what we refer to as Title II or public utility style regulation of internet service providers. And Title II refers to Title II of the Communications Act, which is what the Obama administration designated internet service providers as. And Title II dates back to 1934. So we were using Depression era telephone regulations to try and regulate the internet. That's just a bad fit. And what those Title II regulations gave us for 80 years when they were put in place back during the Depression was the Ma Bell telephone monopoly. So you may not like your internet service provider now, but the regulations they put in place to try and check bad behavior or potential bad behavior by your internet service provider were the same regulations that gave everybody one phone company in the country.
That's right.
And so that's not a way to promote competition. You know, I'm like most people, I've had my frustrations with internet service providers in the past. Not everybody likes their cable company. But the problem there is that local, state and local governments make it very difficult to compete in certain markets. And so essentially what we have is a state government and local government bull in the china shop, And the Democrats' solution was to introduce a federal bull to that China shop. That doesn't make any sense. What we need to be doing is paring back regulations at every level of government so that we have a more competitive atmosphere in this internet service provider market. And that will create better behavior and better customer service.
We're talking with Patrick Hedger. He is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're talking about the D.C. Court of Appeals decision on Tuesday, which upholds the current FCC's Restoring Internet Freedom Order. Now, what does that do? It reverses rules from the Obama administration that had reclassified internet providers as public utilities. You know, the thing is that what we want really, I mean, ultimately, all of this is about, I think, about the freedom to have choice. So if, like you said, if you don't like what your internet provider is giving you right now, you got four or five other choices you can look at. And your internet provider knows that. And if they know that you might go to somebody else, what are they going to do? They're going to make it more attractive to you as much as they can. So everybody wins in that kind of a thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there are cases where people may have limited options in terms of high-speed internet. There's two ways we fix that problem. The first I already alluded to a little bit, which is getting rid of, and this FCC is already doing this, is getting rid of some of the distortionary policies that allow for state and local governments to restrict competition in the internet service provider market. They're making it easier for cell phone companies to deploy towers and antennas in order to spur so that you get a faster cell phone signal. In some places, your cell phone signal might actually be faster than your wired internet connection. And in other cases, you have state and local governments making it very hard to deploy the actual cable because they have to run it through public rights of way. So getting the local state and local governments out of the way are making sure that their regulations of those network build outs are reasonable and not being used to extract all sorts of rent from these internet companies. That's going to introduce more competition. And then when you have that competition, what we're also seeing is we're really seeing some of the barriers between different types of internet providers starting to come down. With the advent of 5G technology, you're going to be seeing wireless speeds that are going to be very, very fast. I mean, really exceeding a lot of what you're seeing from wired connections, like your fiber optic or your cable connection. And that is putting pressure on the fiber optic and cable guys to up their speeds as well. And what that all requires is a lot of investment. It's very capital intensive. And with these regulations out of the way, these companies are more likely to make those capital investments because they're not worried about the government coming in and telling them how they can or cannot run their business.
Indeed. Indeed. In fact, I'm just thinking, you know, 10 years down the road, what is the internet going to look like if indeed we allow it to stay without the tentacles of the federal government and wrapping itself around it? I would be very excited about that. I wish we could have the same situation for things like healthcare and the like, where, you know, we can get it away from the government. But Patrick, it was a delight to talk with you. Thank you so very much for coming on and telling us a little bit about this. And look forward to having you again with us down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
All right, sir. Patrick Hedger of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. That's good news, isn't it? I think it is. All right. Let us take our break. When we come back, the proprietor of the only poll that really counts, the barber poll, Andrew Ceraci, will join us.
Oh, honey, honey, you are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you. Honey, oh, sugar, sugar.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? Tune in to the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on TAN Talk Radio Network. That's 1340 AM and 106.1 FM. Right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. We cover it all when it comes to deed-restricted communities. We have the answers to all of your questions and more on the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the TAN Talk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the TAN Talk Radio Network and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Big girls don't cry. Big girls don't cry.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. Thank you so very much for joining us on Freedom Works. And we are delighted to have our buddy, Andrew the Master Barber, who is recuperating, I hope, and feeling better. He is joining us. Andrew, I got so much to talk about with you, I don't know where to start, but I'm going to start with our buddy Adam Schiff. I know you love the guy. And Adam Schiff, it turns out, also has a history of Ukraine involvement, including he gets big-time money from a pro-Ukraine lobbyist here in the United States. And he has been involved in pushing weaponry for Ukraine over the years when we go back and we look. So talk about the pot calling the kettle black. What do you think?
Well, he is the most vile, despicable person I've ever seen in my life.
Well, tell me what you really think.
And you know what? What Trump did last night, did you see how he's sending the letter today telling him, you take your vote, let's go from there. Because what they're trying to do is get this all around and just dirty Trump's name. This isn't going anywhere.
Right.
He's sending them the letter today. You take your vote. This way we can, you know, all the witnesses we want to take in. Let's do this right. Quit playing your game. He's pulling the plug out of the swamp, Paul. And you know what? They're all running nervous. You seen John Brennan yesterday talking on MSNBC?
Yes.
He's all shook up. Well, he's all shook up.
Well, he has reason to be. There's a good chance he's going to be indicted.
Paul, let me tell you something. They're all going down.
You think so?
Trump is doing just what he said he's going to do. And you know what? This Adam Schiff, Trump was right when he sat there and says, I believe he wrote this thing. You saw this letter. You know this.
Yeah, you're talking about the whistleblower report. It was so so lawyered up. You knew
that
somebody was in there with the whistleblower dummying up the report.
And did you see Ann Pelosi yesterday backing him up, saying he read exactly what was on the phone call when he was in front? Can you believe her?
Did you call her Ann Pelosi? I like that. Yes.
I'm trying to be nice, just so people know who I'm talking about.
Well, why don't you call her Aunt Nancy then? Okay, she's Aunt Nancy.
Nancy, I'm sorry.
You
got to understand
that. Aunt Nancy and Uncle Chuck.
Happened to Chuck Schumer? Where is Chuck Schumer these days? He's in hiding, buddy.
I think he's hiding under one of his lobbyists somewhere. We'll have to look for him.
But I think you're going to see this go down, or it's going to go down quick now.
Well,
they're trying to blame Trump for everything Biden done. Biden's son is getting $83,000 a month. He gets out of the Navy for snorting cocaine.
Yes.
All of a sudden, he's running a big energy company. What do you know about energy? The only gas he ever had come out his rear end.
It's just a coincidence that he wanders over to the Ukraine and gets on the board of a corrupt utility company. I don't know why you would suspect anything bad there.
They're hanging themselves, Paul. You got no idea. This is going to go down. Look at, like you said, look at the newspapers, what they're trying to say. Oh, now Trump come right out in the open and he's asking for help. Let me tell you something. Biden doesn't stand a chance in hell for what's going on.
I don't think he does either. And I heard somebody make a very good point. They said, look, if some American is involved in corruption in another country and you know about it, why can you not? You can't go over to the country yourself and say, get out of the way. I'm going to handle this corruption thing with this utility company that the vice president's son. No, you've got to ask them to help you. I mean, you can't just stomp into somebody's. And he said, why can't the executive branch of the government, which executes the laws, and Trump oversees the executive branch, why is he not allowed to talk to the leader of a country where corruption is going on? Of course he's allowed.
This is because the Democrats are saying
that's the point.
That's right. They're trying to make their laws if they go along.
They're making a crime out of checking into corruption. They're making a crime out of that, the checking into the corruption. That's so stupid.
They talk about Trump using mob tactics. They're the ones that are trying to be the mob here. Okay?
Yeah. I think they
tried to set him up. They've been trying to set him up since the day he said he was running for president. Okay, they got 27. Everything is impeachable. This is impeachable. Everything is impeachable. Let me tell you something. They're going down. I think they're going to go down sooner than we think. This is all coming to a head, and they brought it on themselves now.
We're talking with Andrew and his barber pole. Andrew, this is a real shock. On yesterday's broadcast of CNN's The Lead, their anchor reported that the so-called whistleblower was a, quote, registered Democrat.
Of course.
What a shock.
Adam Schiff.
A registered Democrat.
Every time something goes on, it's a registered Democrat.
Yeah.
You don't see a Republican doing anything like this.
I mean,
don't see any Republicans doing the tactics that they're using.
And, of course, the guy wasn't on the call either. But that's okay. He's a registered Democrat, so therefore we can make him a whistleblower. Now, I want to ask you about a fellow Italian, Andrew, that has been going after
Napolitano. I can't stand that little guy.
Has been going after Donald Trump's behavior. His name is Robert De Niro.
Oh, please.
Yeah, no,
I thought you meant Napolitano, too.
He's another one. Judge Andrew Napolitano, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, De Niro, please. He's a disgrace.
Let's start with De Niro, first of all. Robert De Niro, who has been attacking Donald Trump's behavior, is being sued by a former assistant who claims he not only made sexually charged comments, he verbally abused her and basically would just four-letter word her to death. And they have some of the
I heard the phone call two times.
You've heard the phone call?
Oh, yeah, this guy is a disgrace.
This guy.
I hope he goes down.
What a hypocrite. He's talking about Donald Trump's behavior, and you hear how he belittles this woman.
Yep. Oh, yeah, he's disgusting. He's disgusting. It's too bad he's got an Italian last name, believe me, because he's making us look bad. But, you know, he's not even one quarter Italian, so I feel better about that.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, definitely. I looked it up, believe me. I wanted to make sure this guy wasn't a total disgrace to our people.
Okay, and the rest is Ukrainian, right?
No, I don't want to say what the rest is.
Okay.
Well, hey, did you see Elizabeth Warren last night? She's still trying to claim that she's Indian.
Well, she is Indian. That's why she's called Pocahontas. I think. Are you surprised that she's not Indian?
First she said she please give me forgiveness for lying. Now she's claiming it again.
She's claiming she's Indian. Is she still a Cherokee or has she changed to a Sioux?
I think she's from the Haqqawis.
Oh, the Haqqawis. Yes. Well, she certainly looks like a Native American to me. She's about as white as she can be. Blonde-haired and white.
With blonde hair and white. It's a Native American.
And blue eyes. It's got to be a Native American. Okay, let's get to the guy you brought up, another Italian. I think he's probably got more blood in him that's Italian.
Yeah, he's a Napolitan. Okay. Yeah, he's a Napolitan, and I expect that from him, believe me.
He's a Neapolitan? Is that what you're talking about?
His family comes from the Naples area. Okay. They're Napolitans.
Is that how that comes through Napolitano? Yes, now I see how that works. Well, he agrees that now he claims to be a libertarian. He comes on Fox News. He is a judge. And he claims that Trump indeed should be impeached. Why is he trying to say that Trump
Let me tell you, Paul, about Napolitano,
please.
Okay?
Yeah,
he had dreams of being a Supreme Court judge. He used to back Trump like it was going out of style. I don't know if you remember that.
He wanted to be on the Supreme Court.
He wanted to be on the Supreme Court, and Trump didn't nominate him. And I don't blame him. Look at how he is.
Yeah, he does seem to have something against Trump. I have noticed that. And he goes after him quite a bit. I just cannot see how anybody can sit back and not look at the Biden, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden connection, how much money they've made. I'm thinking Hunter Biden was probably passing some of that loot that he was grabbing over to his dad.
I think they were laundering the money through them.
You think so?
Okay, they have $1.5 billion that they got, right? They wanted to get some of that money back into his family, and they put the son in a job position getting $83,000 a month, Paul.
And
they were laundering that money back right to the Bidens.
Now, Donald Trump is doubling down. He says now, because of what the Bidens were doing in China, he wants China to take a look at the Bidens as well. That's in the front page of the Tampa Bay Times right now.
They're saying that Trump needs, he's calling out for all the help he can from these other countries to interfere with the election so he can beat Biden. Are you kidding me? Trump will mop the floor with Biden.
I don't think Biden will be around.
No, I told you who it's going to be. It's going to be Hillary. It's going to be Hillary or it's going to be Mitt Romney. Mark my words. Mitt Romney is talking of changing parties, my friend.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. Big Ed is nodding his head here about when you said Hillary. Are you by the end of that one, Ed?
It's around Halloween time, and it will be the worst movie you've ever seen, horror flick, Return of the Pantsuits.
Oh, that would be a scary one.
Return of the Pants. I thought it was the Eureka Bag.
It would be. Yeah, you know, it could rival The Joker, which I guess is a big horror movie right now.
But what I'm concerned about is this. Now, what happens, because Elizabeth Warren, she's ahead of everybody right now, right?
I think she's even ahead of Biden now.
Yeah, she is. She's 2 points ahead of him. Now, what's going to happen? Are they going to do a Bernie Sanders to try and knock her out of the way? Because I heard rumors with Elizabeth Warren saying that if she gets the nomination, she was going to ask Hillary to be the vice president.
Why would she do that? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, that she just wants to get suicided, I guess, because, you know, Hillary wants to be president. But those are rumors that I've been hearing. You know, I was in a hospital bed for a few days, and I did nothing but watch the news, believe me.
Well,
I've been bits and pieces of everything here.
How about you had the nurses going crazy, by the way?
Let me tell you something. What? When I was in that hospital, I was really surprised, because from the time I was in the emergency ward, I had the Fox News on when I was waiting for everything, and the doctors that came in, when they saw I had that on, they were all Trump, everybody. The nurses, they can't talk about it, you know what I'm saying? But they were giving me the thumbs up and everything, I'm telling you.
The silent majority, right? I mean,
there's no question about it, Paul. It's out there, and these people are in for a rude awakening. If they think they're going to get rid of President Trump, then they got no clue. He's getting rid of all of them.
Can you
He's
imagine
doing just what he said he was going to do?
Can you imagine the doctors that were working on Bernie Sanders?
Oh, I was wondering if he had socialized medicine.
I was going to say the doctors are probably, while he was laying there, saying, "So you think health care should be free, huh?"
Yeah. If he was on socialized medicine, he'd be dead by now because he'd still be waiting in line.
Nurse, go get me the rubber band and paper clips. Let me fix this patient real quick.
I think you just got a quick lesson, huh?
I tell you what, you know darn well that the people that are at the top promoting socialism are never living the life of socialists. Never. They get the best things that money can buy. They're the ones that don't follow it. I mean, that's a commandment of socialism.
And you know, Paul?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what's happening Monday.
Okay.
At Charlie Crist's office in St. Pete.
Oh, boy.
We are having a biggest protest you've seen against the impeachment of President Trump in front of Charlie Crist's office Monday at 1 o'clock.
Are you at 1 o'clock?
At 1 o'clock. The news is going to be there. We're going to give them a show. There's going to be so many of us there, they're not going to know what to do.
Will Charlie come out and join you?
I doubt it. He's going to be peeking out his window, hiding under something. This guy's got no cones, you know that.
Make sure you go to Walmart someplace, get a nice cheap pair of flip-flops, and stick that to his sign, because Charlie loves being called Flip-Flop Charlie.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard rumors about that. Yeah, I was absolutely waiting for you to show up there with me.
So when are you doing this again? Monday?
Monday, at 1 o'clock, I believe it is.
And where is his office?
Actually, it's 11 to 1, and I believe it's 609 First Street in St. Pete.
Okay, 609 First Street in St. Pete. So that would be in the downtown area of St. Pete on First Street.
Oh, yes. I hope he's got his hair in place for this one.
Yeah.
He's got to look good there.
He's got his little fan, you know, to keep himself cool, too. He'll have that.
He's going to need it. He's going to need a big one.
It's going to be battery operated, I think. All right, my friend. You are just too good to be true, and I'm glad to hear you're doing so well. You're back at the shop right now?
Yes, I am. So if you want to stop by on the way home, stop by.
I will.
Say hello. You got it, buddy.
You're the best.
All right, Paul. You take care.
Thank you, Andrew.
Talk to you later.
All right, buddy. There he is, the Master Barber. I always feel better when I talk with him, you know, because he does have his, he's kind of like Donald Trump, Ed. He has his finger on the pulse of what most people, I think, feel, you know, that have any common sense. Because he talks common sense, usually. Mm-hmm. I think he gets excited and everything, but that's good. He's got a lot of energy, you know.
Flip-flop Charlie's not going to be there. I hate to burst their bubble, but
well, he knows that.
He's not going to be there.
You know, what's Flip-flop going to do? Come out, today he's a Democrat, right? He'll be an independent someday
down
the
road. He's got an appointment somewhere to get that money under the table somewhere.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll tell you what. We are going to take our break, and when we come back, among other things, we're going to talk a little bit baseball, a little bit hockey, and a little bit about jumping off bridges. So don't go away.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final portion of Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for joining us on this Friday morning. Delightful day in Tampa Bay, by the way. And I got some delightful news. Unemployment has dropped to a 50-year low. 50-year low. The last time it was this low, 1969, when Ed was just coming out of college. And although the economy added just 136,000 new jobs, that's not that bad anyway, 136,000. But the jobless rate is now at 3.5%. 3.5% nationwide. That's the lowest since 1969.
You don't catch that lead story in the news, do you?
No.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
It's
I'm
more
looking
like,
for it in here.
Yeah, it's more like, and the sewers are clean now. Oh, and by the way,
Yeah. You know, if at all, you'll find a little blip somewhere on page 11, you know. Yeah. Average hourly earnings have risen just under 3% over the past year to a little over $28 an hour. Let's see. Now, job growth did remain relatively slow last month, September, and it missed the expectations of economists. They had figured about 145,000, and it came in at 136,000. The 2018 monthly average was quite a bit higher. Last year,
223,000 jobs per month. Well, that was a very good number last year. Now, the stock market, I don't know where it is right at this moment. It started to bounce back yesterday. I can't believe with all of the things going on with the Democrats and impeachment that the stock market doesn't plunge more. Right. That's, you know, the way I look at it. But this is good news. The unemployment is, you know, a 50-year low like that. You cannot ignore that kind of information. All right. Before we get to our top 10, I wanted to devote some time to sports. This is Friday morning, and Ed is our sports guru. And Ed, we've got three teams we're excited about right now. We've got the Tampa Bay Lightning hockey team, which opened last night at home. They beat the Florida Panthers 5-2. They looked pretty good to me. And then, holy cow, look at the Rays. They go out to Oakland. They win that game handily. I think it was 5-1 or something like that. Now they're going to play the Houston Astros. So I got to ask you, this is best of five with Houston. Houston's the best, got the best record in the National League. Do you think that the Rays have any chance?
I do, because one thing that Oakland did not prepare for, they prepared for our ace pitcher in Charlie Morton. They prepared for a lot of our bats. They did not prepare for Kevin Cash, our manager, who just played a chess match to the hilt. And I think they were stunned by the lineup. They didn't expect some of the guys to be in there. They thought other guys would be in there. A lot of fans thought other guys should be in there because some guys were put in there like Yanni Diaz that have been out most of the year with injuries here and there. And I think he outwitted them. And, you know, in a one-game playoff, winner-take-all, you don't get a second chance. So do I think they're going to win the series? It's going to be tough, really is. I'm happy that the Trop is sold out for the first game back here.
I was going to ask you about that.
Game three will be back here on Monday.
It'll be the first sellout in quite a while for them.
Yeah, but you got to remember, they dummied down the Trop. I think the max is now 26,000 instead of 34 or 35. Now, being that it's game one is already sold out and the second one has limited tickets available, do they open up the upper decks?
Why not?
Well, you got to staff it. You know, how much, you know, it's not like you just flip a switch.
Yeah.
You know, is it ready?
How many fans, if they opened up the upper deck, how many total could they?
I would think they would need at least 10,000 to commit. Oh, not 10,000. Let's say 8,000. So if there's 26, then you're gonna have 34,000 people there.
Yeah, but how many is the capacity if you opened up every seat? That's what I meant.
I think it tops out at 38. Okay. If I'm not mistaken.
Okay. So if they could get up to 34,000, for sure
you might get to 40 if you have people sitting on laps or something like that.
I see.
There's so many. You got to remember some of the areas of the Trop. They made like the left field ledge and stuff. They took seats out, so now it's kind of a standing thing. So you really can't keep track. In other words, if you had an area like the size of this building that had 20 seats in it, well, you can fit 30 people standing up. And that'd be fine. So the numbers are going to be all over. But I just hope that maybe sometime today, oh, Stewie boy, which, you know, here's the thing real quickly. That
you're talking about the owner.
The owner. You know, everything's going great. And what does he do? He invites the big guns from Montreal to come to the game. Well, they wanted tickets. That's fine. If they wanted tickets, get them tickets. You don't have to take pictures with them on the field.
Yeah, that was a little
bit. It's like going through a divorce. You haven't been divorced yet, and you're out to your favorite restaurant with your new girlfriend already.
Take a stick in the eye to the St. Petersburg people that are.
You didn't invite the St. Pete mayor or anything like that, or, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, real quickly. The Tampa Bay Lightning opened their season last night. They won 5-2, hosting the Florida Panthers. I hate to ask you this, but they lost four straight in the playoffs last year. Are they going to – do you think that they can make the Stanley
They're
Cup
still
final?
Heavily favored to get to the Cup again.
They are.
Yeah, but all year long those questions are going to come up all year. Well, you had a record season last year, and you got swept in the playoffs.
Well, that, now they have something to prove, don't they?
Yeah.
Maybe that will make them fight even harder.
Yep.
Okay, good. All right, it is time for our top 10. And we have an interesting one. I find this, it might be morbidly interesting. That's true. But I think it's interesting all the same. The top 10 world's suicide bridges. The top 10 world suicide bridges. I'm not even sure that you can actually know how many people have killed themselves from a bridge. I mean, there's got to be bridges where, you know, you don't know that somebody killed themselves. But anyway, let's find out what we've got, all right? Top 10 world suicide bridges. Number 10, the Jacques Cartier Bridge. Now, that is in Montreal, okay? And they have had about 140 people leap to their death from the Jacques Cartier Bridge. That's crossing the St. Lawrence River, by the way. Okay. Number 9, the Prince Edward Viaduct. That's in Toronto. Mm. It's average of about 400 deaths. It opened in 1918. No one thought it would become a popular suicide spot, but it ranks as the second most fatal standing structure in the world, it says here, with over 400 suicides. Hmm. All right, number 8. Our very own, Ed.
Skyway.
The Sunshine Skyway Bridge in St. Pete. Approximately 100 people have jumped from it. Often used for suicide. It spans, of course, Tampa Bay. Let's see here. The bridge opened in 1987, and since then about 100 people have jumped. It's kind of easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Too easy.
Yeah, it is too easy. All right. Number 7. The Coronado Bridge. That is in San Diego, California. About 200 deaths. Regarded as the third deadliest suicide bridge in the United States. All right. Number 6. I think it's pronounced Nusle, N-U-S-L-E Bridge. It's in Prague, Czechoslovakia. About 300 people have been killed there. Another magnet for suicides. It was opened in 1973. Number 5. The Neti Jetty Bridge. It's in Karachi, Pakistan. About 1,000 deaths, unofficially, because in Pakistan, nobody really has official figures. All right. Number 4. The Nanjing Bridge in China. About 1,000 deaths. It was completed in 1968. Number 3. The Aurora Bridge in Seattle, Washington. Over 230 deaths. It's about 167 feet above the water. It's regarded as one of the deadliest suicide bridges in the United States. Number 2.
Oop. Hang on here.
Get away from that bridge railing and get back to the drums. Number 2 is the Clifton Suspension Bridge in the United Kingdom. About 1,000 deaths. Among those unfortunate souls was one lucky one. In 1885, a 22-year-old woman had jumped. Her billowing skirts acted as a parachute. She actually survived and lived into her 80s.
It's been a big skirt.
Yeah. Well, that was back in the 1800s. Yeah. All right. Ed, we're at number 1. What do you think is the number 1 suicide bridge in the world?
The only one I can think of is the Verrazano Narrows Bridge in New York. That's the only one I can think of.
Drum roll, please. The Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I thought for sure you would know.
Oh, I said that before.
It's the Golden Gate Bridge. 1,500 people have jumped from there and been killed. It was opened in 1937, and there you go.
I remember one NFL player, when they went out in California, when they were going across the Golden Gate Bridge, the guy said, if the bridge is red, why do they call it the Golden?
I know. It does look red when you get close to it, doesn't it? All right, my friends. Thank you so much. We'll be back Monday. Remember, freedom works. I'm gonna raise a fuss. I'm gonna raise a holler.